Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our gospel reading this evening is not one you would typically hear read during an Ash Wednesday service. The more typical reading comes from Matthew 6 and is a caution to not practice our piety or your piety so that other people will see you. In that reading, Jesus warns his hearers that when you give alms, do not sound a trumpet to let everybody know that you have made a donation. And when you pray, do it in private so that you will not be seen and heard. And when you fast, Jesus says, do not make it obvious to others that you are fasting. Now, Jesus' caution is not about or against doing these things, but his caution is about doing these things in order that other people would see you or notice you. We should do these things to draw us into a closer relationship with God, but we shouldn't do these things to try to impress one another. Now, our reading contains a couple of similar cautions. The first is a warning against feeling more important than we are. And the second is a warning against becoming a stumbling block to others. And for each of these warnings, there is a warning of a serious consequence to come. Our reading begins with the disciples asking Jesus a question, probably a question that they was a bit self-serving. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I can imagine the disciples, each in their own mind, imagining that their name might be close to coming out of Jesus' mouth. But Jesus called a child, a nameless, statusless, dependent child, to stand among them, and he said that unless you become like this child, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. How could that possibly be true? Children at the time, by definition, were and are dependent upon others. In fact, in the ancient world, a child had no status, no legal rights. They were seen solely as an expense, and an expense that provided no significant return. Little ROI on those little rugrats. How could they be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven when they weren't that great here on earth? Children had nothing to offer. They just take and take and take and take and take. Could it be that to be great in the kingdom of heaven requires us to become takers? Clearly, something must be lost in the translation here, right? That couldn't be what Jesus means to say. But perhaps he does. You see, children are dependent upon their community. They're dependent upon others for their well-being, for their very survival. They are also open to meeting new people, and they want to be their friends. I saw this play out twice yesterday here at the church. In the morning, we had a family come and tour the preschool. And they had a two-year-old son, an only child, little boy, 2 years old, had never been cared for outside of the home. And when they got here and it was time to go out onto the playground to play, that little boy took off and began to play with the other kids like he'd been here his whole life, as if the other children were his lifelong friends. We saw it also last night at the Shrove Tuesday dinner when little Roman, who's somewhere in that pew there, hi Roman, when Roman went over and introduced himself to Rowan and Carson, his little brother. And soon the three of them were running around the fellowship hall, playing as if they'd known each other for their whole lives. Now, I don't think Jesus wants us to have more play dates, necessarily. But I do think that we could all learn something from children who accept one another and befriend one another and are less skeptical of each other than us adults tend to be. Somebody walks in the room. All right, is this somebody I'd want to spend time with? Is this somebody who's going to fight me for the bill, or are they always going to be turning the other way when the bill comes? We tend to be skeptical. Children are quick to accept, and they are quick to believe. And when they believe in something or someone, they believe with their whole heart. This makes children vulnerable because they can be so trusting. But I think that's the point. Jesus is encouraging the disciples and us to be a bit more vulnerable, to trust in him and even in one another. And if you happen to be the type of person who takes advantage of the trusting nature of a young child, who becomes a stumbling block to that child, I hope that you can swim with a millstone tied around your neck, Jesus says. Because there's no patience for those who prey on the vulnerability of the most vulnerable in our communities. Stumbling blocks to the faith are people who ask, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They're the people who wait for that trumpet to sound when they drop their offering in the plate. And they pray loud, so loud and long so that everybody can hear them. They talk about their piety, their religious practices, not to bring attention to God, but to bring attention to themselves. But children marvel at the miraculous. They wonder at the mystery. They want to believe. And when they do, they want to share the discoveries that they have made, the wonders that they have seen, the love that they have been given with others. We spend time teaching our children to confess. It's worse if you don't tell me if you did it. It's not good to lie to me. It's going to be worse if you aren't honest with me now, we say. We teach them to apologize and to forgive, and yet as adults, we fail to do so. Are we honest about our transgressions? Do we forgive others? Do we seek forgiveness of others? Lent is a season of repentance and reflection upon our mortality, upon our sinfulness. For we acknowledge that the wages of sin are death, and that is where our journey is headed. Death, at least without Jesus. For we are powerless to resist the sin that surrounds us, at least on our own. But through faith, by trusting in the power of God's love and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we can resist and we can become or begin to become as innocent again as a young child, like that child that Jesus brought into their midst. During Lent, we are invited to remember our need for the crucifixion, for the sacrifice that was made on our behalf, so that when the resurrection does come, we understand and experience its significance for each of us. You see, Jesus wasn't raised from the dead for his own sake. He was raised from the dead for our sake, for your sins and for mine. So let us enter into this season of repentance by being honest about our sinfulness, honest with ourselves, honest with our God. And let us not pretend to be more pious than we actually are, greater than we actually are. Let us acknowledge that we equally stand in need of God's forgiveness and grace as we later come forward to receive ashes, a reminder of our mortality, and then come to the table to receive God's grace and love that we each so desperately need. Our need for God's mercy and forgiveness will become increasingly obvious to us during these 40 days as we together participate in the Being Challenge here at Ascension. Last year, if you were here and you participated in the Red Letter Challenge, we focused then on the red letters that we find in Scripture, those words that Jesus said as recorded in the Gospels. The Being Challenge is a follow-up to that Red Letter Challenge. And Being, if you remember, was the first of the five targets that came from the Red Letter Challenge. So this entire 40 days is focused on being. Being like Jesus. Jesus told the disciples that to be great in the kingdom of heaven, they must be like the child he brought into their midst. And through Scripture, we are taught that to be a disciple of Jesus means that we become like Jesus. So we'll spend 40 days reading about Jesus and challenging ourselves with the help of the Holy Spirit to become more like Jesus. Today is day one, my friends. And the reality is this process will probably reveal more to us about how we're unlike Jesus than how we're like Jesus. But in those ways, I encourage you, I invite you to be prayerful, to go to God and ask that the Holy Spirit would intervene in those ways that you know you're not like Jesus, but want to become more like Jesus, that you would spend time reading the Scriptures, spend time gathering with the church, with brothers and sisters in Christ, spend time in prayer. And if you engage those, what Pastor Zach calls keystone habits, I think you might be surprised by the results as you naturally just become more like the one whom you are reading about, whom you are studying. And we engage and we try and add new habits, good healthy habits, or habits that are good for us in our lives. And when we do some of those things, there are other benefits that we hadn't intended. And my hope is that as we go through this Being Challenge, as you engage some new habits in your life, you might experience some unintended positive consequences in your life. So I invite you to join me every morning, at least Monday through Saturday, to listen to one of the 4 to 7 minute videos. Any of them longer than 7 minutes? We've already been recording them.
Not yet.
I'm trying to keep it under 7 minutes. Sometimes it's hard. As I reflect on what Pastor Zach has reflected upon in the book, we still have books available in the narthex if you would like to join the challenge this Lent together. And it's my prayer that we might grow more into the likeness of Jesus, each of us, that we might become more like Christ to one another and the community where we find ourselves. Amen.